Hello, witches. Welcome to episode 18 of Witch Talk. My name is Brie. I'm a Scorpio Sun, Taurus Moon, Pisces Rising, and this is a witch's guide for the week of June 17th to June 23rd, 2024. It feels like it's been forever. If you didn't know from previous episodes where I mentioned it, or if you don't follow the Topaz Instagram, then you would not know that I have been on vacation for a long time. I have been out of the country, the continent, really, and have been doing a lot of exploring and thinking and all of the things, which is very on brand for me right now, considering I am in a ninth house perfection year. And my most dominant house is the ninth house as well. Major Jupiter vibes and influences for me right now. All I will say is my passport is heavily stamped these days. But yeah, I wanted to pre-record the episodes, but in reality, it would have been 2 months of pre-recorded episodes, which was not likely to actually happen with my schedule, which is why you follow the other Topaz accounts, Instagram, TikTok, Threads, whatever it be, because one of those, if not all, will always be updated with current astrology information, just because I can handle all of those on my phone and not have to bring out heavy podcast equipment and edit and do a whole process to get information out to you. But this trip I took was a solo trip, and so I had a lot of time alone and a lot of time to think, and I thought a lot about astrology and my practice and craft and the content and information I want to put out into the world. And overall, I just thought a lot about what I want my role to be in the astrology realm or community to be. I got my platform through TikTok, and most of you found me through TikTok, but I work very hard to create a distinction between how I give out information about astrology versus the average TikTok astrologer. It's a known thing to be wary of astrology content on TikTok, because the reality is that a lot of people don't actually know what they're talking about. And honestly, I think when I first started, I was one of those people, and not because I wanted to misinform people, but more just because astrology is so vast and there's so much to learn, and it's pretty hard to learn. And if you know even a little bit, and you have people in your comments asking you questions, you want to answer them, and you may think you know the answer, but it may turn out you actually don't, or there's other ways to look at whatever it is you're talking about. So down the line, over the past 2 years, I've actually learned a lot from people challenging me in comments or through doing birth chart readings and people asking me questions that in the moment I have no clue what they're talking about. Thank God it's a pre-recorded audio message. And I have to go and research it and learn a lot about it, which is so helpful because astrology is very self-taught these days. For a lot of people, if you want to learn about astrology from a serious astrologer, they are charging you for it, as they should. But also on platforms like TikTok and just like the internet in general, it's free and easy to trust and digest. Anyway, I can confidently say now that there are a lot of stuff about astrology that I do understand and comprehend and can teach to other people, which is why I have this podcast. I absolutely would not have started this podcast if I didn't think I could explain what's happening in the stars and world to other people. But there is always more to learn, and even the most advanced astrologers will say that as well. So that brings me back to my main point about my practice and how I want to get information out to you and what that means for me. So I made the decision during this trip of mine to only practice using traditional rulership and whole sign houses, and just to be a bit more disciplined in my approach to astrology. Now, I have been practicing a blend of modern and traditional rulership or astrology for the last 2 years. And the main reason is very simple. It's simply because I have absorbed knowledge about astrology from so many different sources. I have learned so much about astrology from modern astrologers and modern astrology books, as well as traditional astrologers and traditional astrology books and sources. So I have never looked down on modern astrology. I've never looked down on traditional astrology. And I have found so much value in both of them. In fact, I posted a TikTok about it maybe a month and a half ago saying how I think it's stupid to hate on modern astrology, which I still think is true. I don't think anyone should hate on modern or pop astrology because it's quite fun. It's very fun. But I can firmly say now that I do think using traditional astrology or rulership is more helpful. There are a lot of reasons why I think this, which I can definitely talk about in another episode if you guys would like that, but just know now when I'm talking about planets and such, I will be using traditional rulership and dignities and everything just going forward, or I'll try my best to, which I'm actually really excited about, specifically when doing readings. I've done a few so far with this change, and I really like it. I feel like it makes more sense for me and overall just resonates a lot more for me, especially as a Pisces rising. I've done the whole is my chart ruler Neptune or Jupiter thing, and I know what resonates more for me. So I'm really looking forward to making this switch. It's going to take some time for me to fully grasp everything and to feel completely confident when using it, because the concept of Essential dignities is crucial in traditional astrology, you know, rulership, exaltation, triplicity, term, and face, which provide a nuanced understanding of planetary strength and influence, but also because there are so many different types of traditional astrology, Hellenistic being probably the most popular, medieval, Renaissance, Vedic astrology. And I'm just finding what works for me right now. But, you know, I just couldn't sit and do readings or talk about astrology knowing that what I was saying wasn't 100% resonating with me. But so far, I'm really liking the switch, and I feel like I'm learning a lot more about astrology and myself and just the kind of astrologer I want to grow into. So that's fun, but I'll definitely keep anyone who is interested in this transition of mine updated. But we are so back. Expect weekly episodes from now forward with no interruptions. In fact, I just got off of the plane about 3 hours ago. I have global entry, so I got through super fast. And first thing I did was start recording because we have a lot of shifting energies happening this week, and I really wanted to get all of that information out to all of you. Before I officially start the 18th episode of Witch Talk, though, some quick updates that have happened in the last 2 months. Number one, happy Pride Month. Hope everyone is loving that and celebrating queerness in all the right ways. And to celebrate, I decided to discount the love and sex readings for the very first time ever. It is 20% off right now for the entire month of June. No code necessary. Number two, the transits and timing readings are also discounted right now. Those are 10% off. Honestly, no reason other than the fact that I just want to do that reading more often. And hopefully with the discount, you guys will be motivated to book. Number three, I'm doing some bonus episodes in the near future, very, very soon. And one of them is going to be a series called Cosmic Counseling, where you ask me astrology questions and I answer them, or where you give me some insane stories and have it relate to astrology. So like, what were the signs of the people involved? Did it happen during a Mercury retrograde? Stuff like that. It can be love related. So like, are me and my Cancer boyfriend compatible? It can be serious astrology questions that you want answered. But really, I would love some life advice questions and stories that I can relate to astrology and stuff, like what's happening in your life right now. The people on the Topaz Instagram have provided lots of great ones and insane stories. But of course, I'm opening it up to all of you as well. You can do this by filling out the quick form in the notes of this episode or by just sending me an email. Last thing is the links for Palestinian aid have been updated in the notes section of this episode, as well as any Topaz bio. Middle East Children's Alliance and Heal Palestine are still there, but I have also added resources through Operation Olive Branch, a grassroots movement that's purpose is to support and amplify the aid requests of Palestinian families. That link is the main link for a bunch of different ways to help. There's mutual and direct aid, links to spread the word about what's happening, forms to fill out, volunteer work, all of it. Give what you can, but also remember, donating is not the only way to help. There are so many other steps you can take to make a difference. With all of that being said, let's finally get into the week ahead. Cancer season is finally here, and we also have a full moon in Capricorn this week. Lots to talk about. So starting on Monday the 17th, we have Mercury and Venus both entering Cancer. Both very early in the morning, Eastern Standard Time, and you know what that means, they are making a conjunction. The energies of Cancer, Mercury, and Venus are meshing together. This is going to be a great time when it comes to fostering your relationships and familial bonds and kind of just getting together and, but not only celebrating the people that you love, but also cherishing the bonds you have with the people you love. It's a great time to get together with the people you love and maybe even have a heart-to-heart, talk things out or get things you've been holding back out. It's really going to be a great time to express your feelings. And I don't think it's going to be explosive or damaging in any way at all. It's going to be healing. I think people as a whole on Monday and going into Cancer season in general, especially if they have Cancer placements, are going to be a lot more receptive during this time. You know, sibling, family, and emotionally charged relationship dynamics are going to be more peaceful. This transit brings a more intuitive and emotionally aware side of communication. Conversations might lean towards being more heartfelt and compassionate. You might see deeper connections and better understanding in personal and professional relationships. I also think this is going to be a really great time when it comes to being busy or getting things done that revolve around your own pleasure. So maybe like running a lot of errands that are for you, going to Target and picking up some cute little self-care or hair care items, taking yourself out to get a massage, maybe even just getting practical things done that will make you feel a lot better once it's out of the way. Maybe even doing some little home renovations for the day, because Cancer is the home and Mercury is the action of getting a task done, multiple tasks really. And Venus is beauty and aesthetics, right? See how that all meshes together to create a tangible way to lean into astrology? That's what this podcast is about, learning how to work with astrological transits. But overall, this conjunction is a beautiful reminder of the power of emotional intelligence and the importance of nurturing both ourselves and our relationships. It's a reminder for us to take care of ourselves. So embrace the gentle, supportive energy of Cancer and allow it to guide you towards deeper connections and creative inspiration, but also be mindful of not letting your emotions cloud your judgment always, but definitely during the time where Mercury and Venus will be in Cancer. Strive for a good and healthy balance between your heart and your mind. On June 20th at 4:51 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, the sun moves into Cancer, meaning Cancer season is among us, and this is the day of the summer solstice, which I am excited to talk about. Everyone thinks summer starts on June 21st, and it can, but it can also fall anywhere between June 20th and June 22nd. I actually think June 21st is like worldwide, but Eastern Standard Time, the sun moves into Cancer on the 20th, meaning summer solstice on the Northern Hemisphere is on the 20th. Longest day of the year, so fun. I'm really looking forward to summer this year. My last few weeks in Europe were extremely cold and rainy and windy, and I was not prepared for that. I was thinking I was going to have a hot Euro start to summer, but no. Paris and London specifically were some of the gloomiest, coldest, rainiest places of my trip, so coming back to New York with high 80 and 90 degree weather was the perfect welcome home gift for me. Now, Cancer is a water sign ruled by the moon, and the energy of Cancer season is deeply connected to our emotions and intuition naturally. During this time, people usually feel more in tune with their inner selves and the feelings of other people. This season encourages introspection and emotional connection, making it a good time for personal growth and healing. Cancer is associated with home, family, and roots. It's a time when many people feel a pull towards their domestic lives, looking for comfort and stability in their homes. So like I said earlier, this period inspires activities like home improvements, family gatherings, revisiting ancestral traditions or memories. And the summer solstice marks the point where the sun reaches its highest position in the sky, leading to the maximum amount of daylight. So the longest day and shortest night of the year, this day marks the beginning of summer and the shift from increasing to decreasing daylight hours. Many cultures around the world celebrate the summer solstice with festivals and rituals. Historically, it's been just this time of celebration, marking the peak of the growing season and symbolizing light and life and renewal. Some major traditions associated with the summer solstice are bonfires, I would say, feasts, and just ceremonies that honor the sun and the earth. The solstice symbolizes a turning point in a time of transition. It represents the height of power for the sun. It's a time of abundance and growth. It's a time to celebrate achievements, to set intentions for the future. The solstice is often seen as a moment to reflect on personal and collective growth and to embrace the changes that are coming your way. In ancient Egypt, the summer solstice was associated with the flooding of the Nile River, actually, which was crucial for agriculture. The solstice marked the arrival of the goddess Isis and the god Osiris in the sky, who were linked to the flooding and fertility of land. And essentially, the myth goes that during the solstice, the stars Sirius, which was associated with Isis, and Orion, which was associated with Osiris, aligned. And it started at the beginning of the Nile's flood and the rebirth of the land in a way. Isis, the goddess of magic and motherhood in ancient Egyptian astrology, and Osiris, the god of the afterlife, were celebrated during the solstice because their reunion in the sky basically signaled the renewal of Earth. This alignment was the start of a fertile season, symbolizing rebirth and abundance, a lot like how the solstice signifies the peak of the sun's power and the abundance of life. Another example that I think some of the more earthy and fairy witches listening will like is the connection between the Celtic traditions and summer. In Celtic tradition, the summer solstice, or Leith, I believe it's called, was a time of magic and enchantment. It was believed that the boundaries between the human and supernatural worlds were extremely, extremely thin during this time. And that meant that it allowed fairies to cross into our realm. Bonfires were lit to celebrate the sun at its most powerful and to ward off evil spirits. And the solstice was seen as a time when the powers of nature, I guess you could say, were at their peak, and people gathered to honor the sun god and the earth goddess. Fairies were thought to be especially active during the solstice specifically, and it was pretty much common belief that they could either grant blessings for you or start a lot of problems and be really mean and like do a lot of little tricks and stuff on you. And so to honor the solstice and to honor the fairies, but mostly to appease the fairies and like mystical beings, people left offerings of food and flowers. The solstice was also just this time for rituals and spells because it harnessed the potent energy of the sun for protection and prosperity. And we can't skip over the literal sun dance that was performed by ancient indigenous tribes. I think it's actually still celebrated today, but the sun dance is a central ceremony for tribes like the Sioux, and it pretty much reflects their deep spiritual connection to the sun and the cycles of nature in general. This looks like fasting or dancing around a sacred tree, which represents the center of the universe and the connection between the earth and the cosmos. And the ritual is a prayer for healing and renewal and the well-being of the community. The solstice, as a time for maximum solar power, is ideal for that kind of spiritual practice, you know, and ritual that honors the life-giving energy of the sun. So the summer solstice is big shit, okay? It's big shit. And the ingress of the sun into Cancer means a fresh start and a time to reflect on personal goals and emotional needs. This is a time, a powerful time, for setting intentions relating to home, family, and personal well-being. It's a time to consider how to balance nurturing other people with self-care. The energy of the summer solstice is amazing. It's my favorite time of the year, I would say, for manifesting goals and desires. The heightened daylight is a symbol for clarity and vision, making it a great time to bring dreams and intentions into reality. So really trusting intuition, that's all Cancer, and acting on inner guidance can lead to really important personal growth. Here's some tips I'm going to give you, I wrote down in my notes. One, embrace emotional healing. So use this time for introspection and emotional healing. Journaling, meditation, and spending time in nature can help you connect with your inner self. Two, create a cozy home environment. Focus on making your home a sanctuary. That's important in general, but simple changes like decluttering, redecorating, or adding personal touches can make a really big difference. Number three, actually celebrate the solstice. Do activities that honor the season, you know? Spend time outdoors, enjoy a solstice ritual, or simply just soak up in the sun. Number four, set intentions. Reflect on your goals and set intentions for the coming months. Everything has a domino effect. And if you start to do good now, that's going to follow you into the fall and winter. The energy of the solstice supports new beginnings and the manifestations that you want. And that brings me to the next day, June 21st. We have a full moon at 1 degree of Capricorn at 9:07 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I'm going to be extra real with you guys. I am really loving this energy. Not only are the next two full moons we are having going to both be in Capricorn back to back, one at 1 degree, which is this one, the other at 29 degrees. So they're directly building off of each other, but this blend of Cancer and Capricorn is more powerful than you think. And this week, there's just so many powerful events to draw on. So I really hope you guys are going to be taking advantage of it. You know, fun fact, whenever I think about that blend of Cancer and Capricorn, I always think of COVID-19. The lunar nodes were in Capricorn and Cancer during the pandemic. And as I've said a billion times during this episode, Cancer symbolizes the home. And we were forced to stay in our homes during that time. But Capricorn is also ambition and getting through rough patches. And we also saw during that time that so many people were starting projects and changing their courses in life because they were finally ambitious enough to do it. I mean, I literally started Topaz during the height of the pandemic. The idea literally came to me when I was locked down at home and was doing school online. So that's just my little fun fact. And I bring it up because I think that Cancer and Capricorn together is kind of a slept on combo. Not saying that the pandemic was amazing, obviously it wasn't, but even though some absolutely horrible things happened during the pandemic and we're still buzzing off of those after effects, some really nice things came out of it as well. And so many people came out of it with a way better clarity and understanding of themselves that I don't think they would have gotten had it not happened. So the full moon in Capricorn brings in a unique blend of emotional intensity from the moon and practical grounded energy from Capricorn, which is an earth sign ruled by Saturn. This combination means a balance between our emotional needs and our practical responsibilities. Full moons generally heighten emotions and bring to light what has been hidden. So in Capricorn, these revelations are often tied to our ambitions and our responsibilities and long-term goals. It's a time to assess where we are in relation to our aspirations and to make necessary adjustments to align with our true purpose. Capricorn's influence here in the position of the moon helps us approach our emotions with a more practical mindset, and it enables us to address emotional issues with a structured plan. That means it can be a time to take a step back, evaluate our progress, and make realistic plans for the future. This can be a time to release rigid expectations that we have for ourselves or outdated goals that are no longer in alignment with our path. The disciplined energy of Capricorn really helps in making tough decisions and setting boundaries where it's needed. And then after letting go, we can really focus on realigning our goals and structures to better support our current values and aspirations. Capricorn is symbolized by the goat, known for its determination and ability to climb to great heights. And this full moon really encourages us to adopt a similar approach to our own aspirations. It reminds us that everything takes time. You're not going to achieve your goals overnight. So don't rush yourself and give yourself grace. That's something I'm learning and practicing right now, and it's hard. You know, my job is to be online, and we're currently living in a world where people get so much attention and money and get to live these, what appears like, very freeing and successful and fun lives for doing nothing. And I'm always comparing my journey and my success to theirs because a lot of them are the same ages as me. And I'm like, oh, damn, I need to catch up. But I'm really learning that I need to give myself grace and just keep doing what I'm doing because it'll pay off soon. Because like the goat, we are encouraged to be persistent and patient, focusing on long-term gains instead of immediate gratification, which as a Gen Zer is a big source of happiness for us, getting what we want exactly when we want it. That's why our attention spans are completely fried. But maybe use this full moon to do a ritual that involves writing down your goals and visualizing the steps needed to achieve them. That can help in manifesting your intentions in a structured way. And take time to reflect on your achievements and how far you've come. Acknowledge the hard work and discipline that have brought you to this point and use that as motivation to continue striving towards your goals. Try to incorporate a gratitude practice to acknowledge your progress and the support you've received along the way. That's definitely going to be something I'll be working on this summer. And the last thing I want to say about this full moon is identify areas where you may be carrying unnecessary burdens or responsibilities. Capricorn's energy supports the setting of healthy boundaries and the letting go of what no longer serves your highest good. So maybe try to weave in a ritual of release in all of this, like writing down what you need to let go of, burning it, tearing it up, whatever. You know, just as a symbolic act of release. Last quick aspect of the week that I want to talk about, the day after the full moon in Capricorn, Mercury in Cancer forms a square with the North Node in Aries. So much cardinal energy going on, which I love because cardinal energy, you know, as we've said before, they're the leaders of the zodiac, they're the initiators, but that really helps in like getting stuff done. Whether it be physical, emotional, like stuff gets done when things in the sky are happening around cardinal energy. So this aspect brings a clash between communication styles and our karmic path, essentially urging us to address unresolved issues and realign our focus for the future. It's been a while, so let me refresh your memory on squares. A square aspect in astrology is a 90-degree angle between two celestial bodies. It's known for creating tension and challenges that push for growth and change. In this case, Mercury, the planet of communication and thought, squares the North Node, which represents our karmic path and future direction. Squares usually indicate internal or external conflicts that need resolution. They demand action and are abrasive, and they want us to confront our issues head on. So the square between Mercury and Cancer and the North Node in Aries creates a dynamic where our emotional communication style conflicts with the need for independent action. I see this playing out in two different ways. One, there may be a tendency to retreat into emotional comfort zones you have instead of actually having tougher conversations. And two, difficulties in expressing feelings or ideas in a way that aligns with your personal goals. So miscommunications or misunderstandings are possible, especially when emotions run high. Also, squares to the North Node usually bring up karmic lessons that are important for our growth, so you might notice past issues related to how you communicate and assert yourself emotionally being brought up. And so with that, I'm going to wrap up here, but I just want to say that for the cardinal signs, Cancer, Capricorn, Aries, and Libra, this week is about balancing action with sensitivity, embracing emotional authenticity, nurturing your relationships, prioritizing self-care, focusing on long-term goals, and creating patience and grace within yourselves. You might feel extra emotionally charged this week, so just go with it, you know, don't fight it, let your emotions guide you. All right, witches, that is all I have for you today. I am so happy to be back, and I can't wait to continue this podcast every week without interruption. Remember, love and sex readings and transit and timing readings are both discounted until the end of June. Happy Pride Month. See you next week. Bye.